This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, Chris Yano, along with a guest host, his first time guest hosting with us. He just happens to be the director of business development at Rhino Strategic Solutions, which is my favorite digital marketing company for home services. And his name is The Jeff.
What's going on, Chris?
The Jeff.
Thanks for having me to The Point. We're excited. We're excited about our guest today.
Who's we?
Well, me and you.
We're excited?
We are excited.
Yeah, dude, I am excited about this.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, but you said we, like you're representing other people. I've already said I'm excited, so you're okay, whatever. See, we're already off on the wrong foot. See, Tom, this is how you figure out if the guest host is going to work or not, is how well can they work things on the fly.
We're keeping a score.
It's okay. I just want to get a little bit of ball busting in there. But hey, The Jeff, happy to have you, man. I'm glad you're going to be on here, too. And listen, we are live at Service World Expo 2021. We're back in person.
No masks.
There's people walking around. There's no masks, just a pop filter. It's actually been kind of nice. And you know what? I didn't have to wear a mask on the way over on the plane.
Special treatment.
I was on a different plane.
Different kind of plane.
And it was a fun plane.
Goals.
It was a good time.
Goals. Life goals.
I had to wear no mask. But yeah, I'm excited to be here in person. It's been great to see everybody that I haven't seen in years again. A lot of vendors that have, there's a lot more people who are in the trade. So I love it, man. Just the camaraderie is cool. You can feel the energy back in the place, too. It's cool to see everybody here. Went and listened to some of the speakers. And, man, I feel like even though I used to go, you hear so much over the years. It's been 15 years of me doing this stuff in the trades. You hear so many speakers, you're kind of like, man, I don't listen anymore. Shit, after 2 years of being absent, I'm like, I'm going to go sit in another class. I'm going to go sit in another class.
2 years of pent-up energy waiting to get back.
Yeah, you ain't shitting, man. So I want to go ahead and welcome our guest, Mr. Tom Casey. And Tom actually is the chief visionary officer.
That's right.
For, it's Griffin Services in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir.
And then, but that's not it. But wait.
There's more.
Wait. There's more. Also, Climate Partners up in Milford, Connecticut.
Milford, Connecticut.
Is that where you're from that northeast, right?
Born and raised in Milford, Connecticut. Yes, sir.
Gotcha. So when did you start Climate Partners?
Climate Partners, it's been forever. So I'm a third generation SOB.
That's You're son a third of a generation boss. Son of a boss.
Son of a boss. And so my grandparents started way back delivering coal and ice.
Coal?
Coal, like shoveling coal.
So like the exact opposites, like coal for heat and ice?
Exactly. Oh, ice for the fridge.
That's right.
And then it evolved to fuel oil, and then
business.
Air conditioning was invented during that time. And then I grew up in that business, carrying tools, working summers, working weekends, going on call with my dad. You know, I guess a lot of us have that kind of story who grew up in the business.
Yeah, but, sure.
Legit.
Yeah, you grew up in it. You were right in it. You didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You're born and bred.
The family vehicle was the dad's service van for a while.
You earned your bars in the industry.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to do this for our listeners, too, because Tom runs a successful company, and he's been in the trades a long time, as he's telling you. But we also have a lot of overlap. He has some overlap with even some of the guests we've had on the show, too. A lot of success, and I want him to share that while he's on here, too. And I'm just grateful that you're here. So it's the first time you and actually I physically get to meet one another.
The non-Zoom
meeting.
That's
right, man. No Zooms. I look way better not on Zoom. I actually look like Brad Pitt.
Is that up for debate, Tom?
I was going to be polite.
Okay. Tom and I are locked in.
Brad Pitt.
Chris is locked in.
Justin Timberlake. No? Okay. Woody Harrelson. Why are you laughing at that, assholes? Jeez.
Woody Harrelson in the movie Kate. I would agree.
Oh, my gosh.
I would agree.
That's pretty funny. All right. So I want to go ahead and let's do this. Hey, so Tom, go ahead and dig in. Let our listeners know. Go ahead and give them a little bit of history, like how you got, like you started to talk about how you got into the trades. But give some progression so that way they can understand the ladder that you climbed and the success that you've had. And then all the way up to the point see what I did there?
Yeah, nice. I like what you did there.
To where you're at today. Cool?
Cool.
Let's go.
So, grew up in trade and had no intention of going into trade, actually, and decided to take a year off between high school and college. And here, 37 years later, I'm still on my year off. I found out that
this
I really...
That's what year off looks like?
This is year
I
off.
I think your math's wrong. I think the mask.
Hopefully, retirement will be the same type of effect.
Tom, you look like a young man. I'm just saying.
But I found out, you know, working full time, I really, really love the heck out of being on roofs and meeting people and getting out and silly stuff like where you ate and stop for coffee, and the camaraderie of the trades was amazing.
Yeah.
So I had to break the news to, you know, mom and grandma and stuff like, I'm not going back to school that way. And
gonna do something a little different.
Pretty quickly, it was a family business when I first got involved. My uncle and my dad were partners, and that was actually a horrible dynamic because the business was transport refrigeration, like, you know, tractor trailers that haul refrigerated goods and frozen goods, and then houses and buildings. My dad was on the house and building side, and that's where I'd work.
And where's this at?
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
And my uncle was on the refrigeration side, and they kind of each thought, like, I make all the money, and as like the son that's involved, I was in the middle of it. So I actually applied for jobs to work for somebody else. I said, okay, I've made a decision not to go to school.
I understand.
That makes
I like
sense.
This, and I'm going to go work for somebody else. So I applied at a job, and I didn't know the guy, the service manager knew my dad well. So he called up and said, hey.
Oh, wait. So the place that you applied at that was outside of the family business was a friend of
yeah,
your dad?
Yeah. So that was an interesting trip when I got home. Like, hey, what the hell's going on? And I said, listen, I don't want to do it anymore. So it turned into this whole thing where I ended up meeting with the corporate lawyer, with corporate, like, you know, small-time business.
Yeah.
And I said, Jimmy, it's not good. And he goes, well, we have an idea. He's the lawyer for my father and my uncle, so he knows they're battling all the time. We've got to split this thing. So we call a meeting to the lawyer's conference room. I'm there. Jimmy, the lawyer's there. And
Jimmy, the lawyer.
Yeah.
Jimmy, the lawyer.
My dad shows up. My uncle shows up. And the proposal was they're going to split the company in two. And my uncle would own two-thirds of the refrigeration side. My dad would own two-thirds of the home and building side. And they would each own one-third of each other's, just as, like, a way to hang on.
Oh.
But then what immediate the transaction was, I was going to then purchase from my dad the one-third of my uncle's and then trade. So my uncle would end up with 100%, and I would end up with a third.
Yep.
And my dad would have two-thirds. And that went horribly bad.
No.
It was
Is Jimmy the lawyer proctoring all this?
He is.
This kind of sounds like a Sopranos movie here.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, at the time, I'm like 19 years old.
Yeah.
I know nothing about nothing. Although I just knew I didn't want to work where there's like family fighting each other, right?
Gotcha. And that's fair.
I'm sure listeners probably can relate. They're like, that's my brother. That's my uncle. That's whatever.
100% our listeners have somebody in their family or friends is working for them that they're pissed at right now. Guaranteed.
So, my uncle stormed out of that meeting. We ended up having lunch the following week. It all worked out. But then I had the next hard task, which my dad is my hero, but I had to go back and say,
ooh, I like how he snuck that
in. Third is not enough. A third is nothing, right? So we negotiated that I would purchase 1% per year to the point I owned 51%. And so I did.
So you'd be a majority owner.
So I would be a majority owner by the time, you know, and so that's how I got into the business actually as an owner. And then the business...
And the name of that company?
It was Climate Engineering originally.
Okay, Climate Engineering.
Climate Engineering.
Gotcha. So I'm tracking this progression.
Which we then grew and we did lots of things. And it was interesting work for my dad. My dad had a very old school mentality. And back in the day, I'll date myself, my main source of information was Doc Rusk. Doc Rusk sold manuals and cassette tapes you could buy and you could learn.
Hey, listeners, just so you know what a cassette tape is, you know what? Google it. Google it.
That is true OG old school.
Let's just say you could rewind it with the pencil.
And definitely. So we just kind of evolved. And the first year I was with my dad, we did $163,000 for the year.
Whoa. Now, wait. So roughly... What year is that?
That's
roughly
like 1987.
Okay, so let's put that into perspective on, like, what does that revenue kind of look like today?
Probably be double.
Okay.
So, know? I mean, it was $32 an hour. I mean, it was all the old school stuff. Right?
Okay.
There's no flat rate. There was no anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ended up growing and building, and my dad was pretty good to me in the sense that he gave me the education he never got. So I went to every trade, like carrier school and train school and everything I could go to that he didn't get to go to, he sent me instead of taking it himself, which I thought was pretty visionary.
Yeah, for sure.
And so
I'm seeing a trend, by the way.
We started to win awards, Quality Home Comfort Awards, Design Build Awards. And in 2000, we were the National Residential Contractor of the Year for contracting business. So we had really come from like nothing, you know, humble to whatever that is.
Well,
that
and so did you guys, so you and your dad.
Me and my dad.
So you guys got to you accomplish that together. You got to experience that together. You got to, assuming you guys celebrated that.
I mean, absolutely. That
was, okay. So keep going. I'm interested.
So then we had a knock at the door. We're not thinking of selling. You know, it's a family business, and we're on the top of the world. We're loving life.
We're not selling until there's a number.
So
there's a big
gentleman
number.
Came to the door unscheduled, no appointment.
To the shop?
To the physical shop, knocked on the door. He comes in my office, and he tells me he's from Blue Dot and da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff.
Blue Dot listeners, you've heard that before. You listen to any of the podcasts with the Gaggers or the Ken Haynes, all those guys.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, I'm pretty inexperienced as far as that world goes, like as in zero experience. And so...
So by inexperienced, you mean none.
Zero. Less zero. Than zero. So we sit in my office, and we're talking, and you know, I guess at the time they were kind of pursuing contractors of the year, trying to like have the prestige of that. And so I said, it's not for sale. And he goes, well, we haven't even made you an offer.
I was like, we heard that before.
And so he said, he did the old trick, like, well, write a number and slide it across the table. And I was so gullible at that time. I was like, okay. So I thought of the biggest number I could think of, and I slid it across the table, and he went, we can do that. And I mean, it's like, shit.
Oh, my gosh. God, you're like, I didn't go big enough. I left it on the table.
Fuck. I left too much money on the table.
See, Tom, I do that with Chris all the time. He slides it back to me, though.
I don't even look at it.
He didn't accept.
I don't even look at it.
So the deal ended up progressing and maturing, and we ended up selling, and it was awesome.
So you went through all your due diligence, did all that shit, and then you ended up selling on what year was that?
That was 2000.
Okay, so 2000. Wow. And that's like... Okay.
So, Tom, I've got a question because I'm sure a lot of the listeners are also in family-owned businesses. How did you guys navigate that personal relationship in business? Was your father hands-off with you? Was he hands-on? Did he let you kind of do your own thing? Talk to us about that.
My dad is amazing with his ability. Honestly, I don't know if I could do it with my kids.
Okay.
How much he allowed me the freedom. He might have had three brothers, too, who were uninvolved in the business, younger brothers, so he did not. He had a bad experience with his own brothers, which is kind of how we got to be partners. So he always said, I'll never force that kind of upon you with your brothers. And plus I purchased it. It wasn't like, hey, here you go. You get to have it. I had to buy it. But we talked all the time, and we had a weird rule, and I'll preface this rule by, we love our wives. Our wives are amazing people. We could not do anything we do without them. But my dad had a very strict rule in the beginning. It was no fucking wives.
Got
like
it.
We will never talk about business involving the wives.
Line in the sand.
And it was a good decision by him, because him and I could take the emotion out of it. And even when we went back to our spouses and had a conversation, we could have that personally or privately. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't always a popular thing. And we also, something we agreed on early up front, which was probably a father-to-son decision versus maybe partners wouldn't agree on it. We decided we would split everything down the middle. Regardless of the ownership percentages, if you made a dollar, it was 50 cents, 50 cents. And if you lost a dollar, it was 50 cents, 50 cents. And so there was no money pressure, like as far as I do all the work, you make all the money. That was never a dynamic.
Cool. Did this strengthen your personal relationship? Just curious.
It did.
I love it.
Well, you said he's your hero. You slipped that in the beginning.
Yeah,
so I'm
tell us about
that. I'm like paying attention to the story here as it goes.
He just is a guy that is very humble. I always thought he should be a judge. He's like the most reasonable guy in making decisions. He doesn't get emotional. He's hardcore. Like working for your dad, anyone who worked for their dad who had a dad like mine, whatever everyone else did, times three or four.
Dude,
like,
I was a farmer.
No doubt.
I was a farmer and the only boy.
And, man, it was like...
That's why I do this now, by the way. That shit's hard.
You know?
Yeah, so...
When I was a kid, on school breaks, Connecticut, winter, freezing, wash the trucks. Like, what are you doing? Wash the trucks. I go in and I go, hey, Dad, the water's freezing on the truck. His response, wash them fucking faster.
I love it.
And it's like, sounds okay.
That sounds like a really great dad response
so,
right there.
You know, someday I'm going to write a book with everything he's ever told me, and it'll be a bestseller.
Tom, that'd be a great T-shirt. Wash them fucking faster on your T-shirt.
All right, so let's keep progressing. Let's keep on moving forward on the story. So
worked for Blue Dot, loved it. 2 years was amazing, and then things changed.
Got it.
Didn't change in our industry. Things didn't change in our company, in our state. Things changed in the stock market, and just everything went sideways. Whatever that is, again, at the time, way above my pay grade. I just know a great thing turned to total shit. And so we were looking to get out of it, and to the point that I was like, here you go, guys. Here's the keys. See you later. We did not buy our location back, which I know that's the number one question. Did you buy it back?
Did you buy it back? Yeah.
We did not buy it back. We made a different kind of a deal, and all of a sudden, you know, they were out of the lease. I was out of my non-compete. I had the warranty responsibility for the customers. Boom, we were back in business.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. I'll wait.
So we started, and at that point, it was a tough decision because that was climate engineering, and it sort of had enough black eyes from the Blue Dot, like, last 12, 18 months that we formed Climate Partners. And it really just absorbed climate engineering into it, but it was like, okay. And our idea was really idealistic at this point in time. We had made money from the sale of climate engineering.
Sure.
And we had key people who stayed with us through all the transitions. So I said, I'm going to make you a partner.
So you still had your key leadership in place about whenever you create Climate Partners.
So
got it.
That sounded great. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. They couldn't take the people thought about, what if things go wrong? What is my liability? What? And I'm like, guys, I'm literally giving you part of a company. So finally I was like, fuck it. Climate Partners is me and my dad again.
I love it.
And so that was the end. So we just went forward, and we did that. You know, then we were having fun. We had a different take. Now we learned through Blue Dot. Like, when you have that cleansing period, things we always did as climate engineering, some things I inherited because we'd always done them. So, like commercial refrigeration, that was something we did that I hated. And so when Climate Partner started, we referred all those. If I was today, I would sell that. I didn't sell it. I just gave the business away to somebody else.
Gotcha.
But so we got to reform partners the way we wanted it.
Got it.
And we also got, at that point, got really heavily into energy conservation, blower door testing, whole home type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which led to now, late 2000s, I started, was a co-founder of Dr. Energy Saver.
Got it.
And that became a franchise. It still exists today. I don't own it. I sold it when I moved to Florida. But so I was on this journey now of I have some more insights to how things work a little bit. My speed to 0 to 60 is faster than it was when I was 19, 20 years old.
Yeah, you know more.
I know more shit. So then Climate Partners is clicking along. Dr. Innovator is clicking along. And I probably like most people in the trade, I don't like going to the doctor. I got to be almost dead.
Same.
Literally, if my pulse is still readable, I'm probably not going.
I get it.
But my wife schedules, as I got older, she schedules your annual tune-up or whatever they call it.
They call that a colonoscopy.
Checking under the hood, Tom. Checking under the hood.
Jeff. Ask the Jeff. He knows.
I haven't done mine.
He does them weekly.
That sounds more like recreation than
it's a hobby.
It's a hobby. So I went. I got some scary news. I'm there on a Tuesday at the doctor. He comes in and goes, hey, I'm sending you over to the cardiologist. Go to the cardiologist, stress test. Fail. And essentially they're like, we got to put you under the knife on Monday. So get your affairs in order.
That quick?
Whatever was going on was bad. So that was a rough weekend. That is that come to Jesus moment. So I have to get my affairs in order, but now I have 3 kids who are all minor kids. So my wife and I know, we're not sharing with the kids, daddy's going to whatever. So I literally wrote my kids what could have been the last letter that weekend.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm telling you, that was such a surreal experience. I'm hoping for the best, praying for the best, but what if not? So
were you even able, I can't even imagine having to write that letter because I'd be like crying the whole time.
You cry the whole time.
I was going to go to the doctor when I got home. I'm going to cancel that now.
So
that's incredible.
Go do that. Get everything in order. Go to the hospital on Monday. First surgery because it's cardiac type thing. Got to agree to everything. Literally, your wife's there. And now the next heartbreak is you're wheeled away from your wife who's sobbing, you're sobbing. It's a horrible.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
It's the worst thing ever.
Damn.
I guess dying would have been worse, but it's pretty close.
Good point. Good point.
So I wake up in recovery, and the first thing I do is like kind of grab my chest, figuring they're going to operate on my chest, and there's nothing there. So you're pushing that button like, I need to see the doctor.
Like somebody talk to me.
Come talk to me.
Talk to me, Goose.
Doctor comes
talk
in, and he goes, I don't know what to tell you. Everything's great. Your heart's perfect. The arteries are perfect. Everything's so it was literally like whatever was there, whatever your beliefs are, I don't know. But
it was gone.
I got to go to the edge, look down at like the shit, and I got that second chance legitimately. Like I literally wasn't even sick. I had like nothing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You looked down on the abyss and won essentially.
And so that was the weekend of writing the letters. Your wife and you are like, if we get through this, we're gonna this and we're gonna that, and we're like, it's like, fuck it, like this could be checkmate. I'm gonna do something different. And so that's how we got to the Florida path, which was really my wife was like, no more snow. We need to get away from snow.
Atta girl.
So we started looking in the South, Georgia, the Carolinas, and we found a spot in Florida. We loved it. And we just took the plunge. And everyone's like, well, what are you gonna do with the business? And so it was a period of time we were building the house where we had structured the business to kind of, you know, we weren't all the way there. And we didn't know, but we had management in place. We had systems in place. We were really obsessive about that stuff. So I was like, I'll have to learn how to do things remotely, but there's like internet. There wasn't like Zooming wasn't a thing
at that
point in time. But so, and there's these things called airplanes. I could fly on those.
Those are
cars helpful. And drive, you know, you can drive on highways.
Yep.
So we made the decision and boom, we were in Florida.
And so thus starts Griffin Service.
Actually, no.
No. Then let's talk about. Oh, wait, because you had also had in this little, like, this story too was Summit, the Summit Solar company that you.
Well, so I moved to Florida. I own a business in Connecticut. It's, you know, I'm a remote operator. I've got checks. I've got medical insurance. I got all that stuff. We're like semi retired, basically. And we built our dream house, and it turned out to be a nightmare house. So I was the shoemaker with no shoes. So my dream house, if you go in it, you walk in it, it's epic. It's beautiful. It's like that typical, like everything looks perfect, but the AC is shit. The plumbing is shit. The first night I stayed in the house, took a shower, and the water built up past my ankles because the drains didn't work. The very first night, I'm like, what have I got myself into? The air conditioning had three water leaks through the ceiling in the first 6 months. Our first Thanksgiving was with mold remediation in the kitchen. I mean, that's
that
our story.
That sounds
fun. So
that's healthy.
I was doing some stuff with Scott Boxer from Service Experts
on
the energy conservation side because of my doctor and engineer experience. And I was out of town, down in Texas, working with some of their locations. And the plumbers were supposed to come out to fix some stuff for the, like, umpteenth time. When I came back, you know, give your wife a hug, kiss, how's it going? And you have no, like, tradesman, like, what happened with the plumbing? And she said, you're going to have to fix it. I told him it was all set. I sent him away. And I could have fixed it all along, but it's like one of those things. I paid you. I am not fucking fixing
it. Yeah,
you.
I got you.
I built a new house. I did everything right.
No, you paid for it.
Fuck this.
I understand.
And so, but when your wife says, honey, enough's enough, you go, yes, dear.
Yep, got
and
you.
And so,
done.
We end up, you know, ripping out our HVAC system, fixing it right. We end up taking care of our plumbing, water heater. And then, like, we started getting these knocks on the door from neighbors. Like, hey, do you fix air conditioning? And then one of the things my wife had said in that when I came home that time is, keep in mind, we own a business in Connecticut.
Connecticut, right.
We know what it takes.
Sure.
And so she goes, if we ever did this in our business, we'd be out of business. You should open a company. And it just sort of then from there led to.
And so what year was that?
That was like 2016.
2016, gotcha. So, okay.
So,
in home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency, Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
We decided, okay, we're going to start a company. We're not going to buy a company. I've been around the block a lot of times. I do like sort of boutique coaching for different people through the years. I'm supposed to know some stuff, right?
Exactly.
I'm supposed to know some stuff.
You've had some.
So I'm like, let's put this to the test. I can create a business in a box. I can do it however I want to do it. Nobody knows me. I have no expectations. So that's how we set aside Griffin. You know, we went on that that a journey. Even the name was like, what name do we want? And so we're like, we got to have a, we surveyed all the demographic of the area, and it's like a lot of golf clubs and country clubs. We're like, okay, they have crests. They have like membership.
Oh.
So we have to have this sort of feel. We wanted our logo and our name to like immediately say they're more expensive than everyone else. So like we looked at all the logos like Rolex, Ferrari, Lamborghini. And if you see our logo, it looks very much like a high-end, you know, car logo.
Right.
And so it let us build it literally from scratch the way we wanted to. But zero employees, zero customers.
I get it.
We have this amazing logo. We did a lot of contests. Like we did sort of public contests with different services like design our logos, design our truck wraps, design.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so we kind of geared everything to get a lot of choices.
So like win the, like you can win the business, like you do, like that
kind of. If you have the best contest, we'll give you $1,000 for the best logo.
Gotcha.
And then you look at like 100 logos, you're like, oh, that's awesome. But up to that point, I also was like, I was this crazy stalker, you know, I took my camera, I would go to all the supply houses and like window down snapping pictures of the other vans because I was like, okay, what colors don't exist in our market? So the colors black and gold wouldn't have been like a choice I made, but everyone in the market was red and blue and every other color. I wanted something that stood out. So it was very much like that process, right? Like, I'm going to prove that I can do it.
Yep.
Money where your mouth is.
Put your money
where
your mouth
is. Logo's badass, Tom. I like it.
Thanks.
The only issue I have with it.
Uh-oh.
Pittsburgh
only
Steelers.
Issue I have.
Why do you got to have an issue with it?
Fucking Pittsburgh.
Because he's Arizona fan.
Arizona Cardinals fan.
Can it just be a question?
No.
It's an issue?
Every time I hear black and yellow, like, anyway.
Tom,
on.
It's badass. Don't
carry
listen
on,
to Chris.
Tom. Orange is cooler. Carry on, Tom.
Talk more about your logo if you want to.
No.
It's a brand, not a logo.
It is a brand. So that was kind of the idea. Like, let's create a brand. The other thing is Jacksonville is a big market. It's a very different market than Connecticut I was in. Connecticut's like a sleepy town, you know, little town. Jacksonville is the largest landmass city. And so there's a lot of mature players. We're these guys from the north. You know, we're in the north of the south. Like, there's a whole dynamic there, good old boys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we said in our design, like, it has to immediately be not a new brand.
The Yanks.
When you see it, you have to say, that's not a new company.
Yeah.
That's not a new brand. And so that it was a lot of fun thought into it.
Well, so, but now it's thriving.
It's thriving.
It's thriving. You're doing, you obviously know what you're doing.
It seems
that you're
worked
out. You're like this close. This close, I'm putting, like, I got my fingers pinched really close together because that's how close Tom is to picking the right digital marketing partner to take him to the next
there
level.
You go. There you
right
go.
There. But let's talk about where the business is at today for perspective, and then we'll go and do some a more drilled down detail on, like, things you've done to get them there, things you've learned. So I'll go through that question. So go ahead and get the listeners, like, where's the business at today? And then I'll go into the questions.
Business today is full HVAC service and replacement, you know, 95-98% residential.
That's the good
we also
shit.
Plumbing service, sewers, drains, water heaters. And we just launched electrical. Literally, we have one electrician started 2 weeks ago. So that's amazing. We'll finish up this year about $8.5
million. Boy.
Which is pretty sweet,
absolutely,
I think, for where we started out.
100%.
Next year, we'll go for bigger places.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, soon.
Bigger places.
North of 10. North of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If we do 10, I'm going to, like, hang up my cleats.
Tom,
I'm out.
Tom, I said north of 10. North of 10.
He said north of 10.
North of 10.
He's shooting high. He's going for that visionary that visionary goal. He knows.
He knows.
We know about the visionary goal.
So I want to, thank you for sharing the story, too. I always love all the old Blue Dot stories, too. I mean, even though I knew what the outcome of it was, the story, the history of all of it, and all those that are involved are typically all successful in the business today. Like, or made successful exits, too. I mean, like, that have scattered out between them.
Right.
So it, always hearing the stories is cool for me. And I think for our listeners, too, because they get it, basically get a history lesson on here, too, from those that are being in the trades. So, but the common denominators are all things that these successful companies are doing. It's just your own variation of it, things you've learned, things that your dad taught you, or that you learned from being in the business, and everybody learns from the mistakes. Now, I have my own, you know, input on how to grow businesses, too, but mine's, even though I work in the trades, I'm in a different, like, I'm obviously in a different capacity, right?
Right.
Those
right.
are my customers, so I have to really understand it. But one thing that's extremely important to me, and I know you talk about all these things on growing the business, and the reason I'm asking this question is because beneath that rough exterior, I think there's probably a little bit of a soft, there's a little bit of a softy in there, too, and I think your dad probably created that in you because of the way he was with you and him being a gentle guy and not being an emotional guy, but being caring enough to let you do your thing and learn things and giving you responsibilities that maybe somebody wouldn't have gotten at that age or at that phase of the business. But to me, empathy wins. I think being an empathetic leader is good, but I also believe in you got to have a really great culture, people that believe in you, people that want to work for you, people that want to do the job, people that want to do it right, people that genuinely care about serving the customer, because at the end of the day, client fulfillment is the game.
Absolutely.
So was there anything in particular while you're growing these companies that you're in, like that in the culture of the business that you thought was really successful in creating good synergy?
Yeah, I think culture beats everything.
100%.
Culture is checkmate.
Everybody's got to want to fight for one another, right?
And so that's it. Money happens, sales happen, life happens, but culture is the end-all, be-all. And so we always had amazing culture at Climate Partners and Climate Engineering. And that's just my thing. I'm a sports guy, so, like, you know, no man left behind. You can have all those cliches.
Oh, yeah.
Griffin's culture, I had to do something different because there is a different mindset from a Northeastern. I'm from about an hour north of New York City, so I have a New Yorker mentality. That's just a real aggressive sort of mentality.
I understand.
I moved down to, like,
take no
chilled out land, and I'm like this throbbing asshole, like, dude, chill out, man.
Jeff knows something about that.
I remember going to the grocery store and, like, they're talking to you. I'm like, just give me my shit. Let me get out of here. Like, what are you talking to me for? I don't even know you.
And they're holding the door open for you, Tom. Right?
Like, can I take your groceries to your car? No. And now it's like the most, now years later, it's awesome. But so I had to kind of really snap that if you're going to be at Griffin from the beginning, it's going to be different. So, like, we have banners that hang around our shop that literally say, fuck average, be legendary.
Yeah.
Wow. So we need one of those, Chris.
It's like, it's just the mindset is if we do that, then everything's built around that. And we're a work culture. And a lot of people say that, a work family, and we are. Integrity, absolutely. Legendary service, no doubt. But one of our core values is amazing workplace.
Tom, question. So follow up to that. Where do you see the paradigm shift has been to maybe the old school worker to the new generation worker? What do you see as in work ethic challenges, you know, opportunities out there? How do you see that the paradigm has shifted?
I don't know that it really shifted. I think there's a lot of talk about that, and maybe consultants like to make money off that, talking about Gen this, that, and the other thing. I do know there are some differences, but culture is culture.
Mm-hmm.
People who want to win. It's like saying what's changed in, you know, sports. The guy who won in the 50s had a mindset. The guy who won in the 80s had a mindset. The guy winning today has a mindset. You know, you could take Michael Jordan and put him in any generation, he's going to be successful. So I don't think that our culture doesn't rely on excuses. You know, we operate.
I like that.
Oh, that's good.
I operate my personal core value, and a company core value is a rule called no assholes. And that means customers, vendors, associates. It just is a rule. And so in that world, the older guys take the younger guys under their wing. If a younger guy is like, you know, all millennialized out or whatever, like, oh, you have to let them work these hours and stuff. Our guys are going to be like, listen here, this is what we do around here. We're all a family. We go to battle. You know, to me, business is war, not in the life and death sense, but we're going to take that hill.
Yeah.
We're going to take that hill.
Unity.
And if
team.
We're going to leave no one behind in the process. And so, to me, you know, culture, I could talk about culture all day. I love every bit about it. And I think success or lack of success, profit or lack of profit can be traced to culture. You know, you want to get into all the marketing things and the numbers. It's all super important, don't get me wrong. But if you start with a bad culture, no strategy can beat culture. culture is the ultimate strategy.
Yeah, no, so I want to actually, I had like a different mindset of how I wanted this to go, but I love that your passion is in culture, and I didn't know that. And so like I could see you when you're talking about it, but I did say to Jeff, to the Jeff, pre-podcast, that the chief visionary officer thing kind of made me think like that was going to be really important to you. And I had no reason to think that, none. So I love that you're going down that path, because I'm such a big advocate of it. And it seems like, no, man, I need leads. No, man, I need the business. I need to work on my conversion rates. Well, guess what? You need to have client fulfillment. And guess who's got to fulfill the client need for you or the service for you? Your people, right? So what I want to touch on is, you know, as our company has grown, we have over 126, 128 rhinos today. Culture is the most important thing to me, because I treat client fulfillment in my world and employee satisfactions as equals.
Absolutely.
They're equals. So
employees are the first customer.
100%. So even though I was gone last week, we fly everybody in town and we do this quarterly team builder, because to me, it's worth the expense of bringing everybody in to just get together, to be together. And then, of course, we do service days once a month where we go and serve somewhere in the community, shut the office down on a Friday, and go and serve somewhere. It's just a different way of creating a culture of caring when you're doing something for someone who is in need and has no benefit to you or to the business. It's a way to just kind of grow the tough guys and kind of maybe see if they got, you can pull on some heartstrings a little bit. But it creates this like great culture within our business, and it works as we've scaled it. But scaling it is hard, because you have to have your management in place that continues to repeat what that culture is over and over again to make sure that, you know, we keep following that. Now, an interesting topic. You know, earlier today I did a podcast with Ken Goodrich, and I was with him 2 years ago, and we went to go see went to this event together. I went and we saw Robert Kiyosaki talking, who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. And he talked about how he actually documented his culture. He created a full-on process and documentation of his culture that was shared on a weekly basis.
That's awesome.
Documented his culture. I didn't even think about it to that point in time. And I was like, oh, shit, man, I got to write a process for my culture, and I got to document our culture.
One of the things that I learned between Climate and Griffin was we document everything, but we don't write it down. So, like, we have videos for everything. So trying to capture culture, if I could sit there and just, you could see my hear my tone.
Yeah.
So when somebody starts, we have this immersion process that takes about 5 days. And there's a schedule of videos. And it's all about, like, you know, the first day is just culture day. Why we do this, why we do that, how we do this, what it's about. And there's a check-in by their manager to make sure, is this still for you? You've seen, like, that's the boss, that's the guy, and he uses F-bombs, and he's very passionate, and he's, like, he's not fooling around, and this is your day, and then you kind of roll to, you know, technical procedures and processes and service software training and stuff, but day one is culture day.
Yep.
Like, are you in?
I love it.
And then
this is what we're about. Are you in or out?
And we do all company every month, and we have a culture point during it. But I think our success in scaling, we're not scaled to the size like Ken Goodrich,
of course,
legend, you know, doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I see him do it. He's taking care of his leaders. So now my responsibility is to grow leaders.
Yeah, they're here.
And so I'm teaching them, I'm growing them. They got to get in and buy in for me so that they could give it to the next guy.
And you have to lead by example.
Right.
Can't just talk about it. You got to be about it.
Got to be about it. Yeah. So, Tom, everyone that's followed your journey and has known you, what's next for Tom Casey and your legacy?
Ooh, legacy. I love legacy questions.
I like legacy questions. And remind me, before that, sports team, are you now a converted Jaguars fan?
Definitely no.
Okay,
hey,
good.
I'm going to be there this next weekend to watch my Arizona Cardinals whoop that Jacksonville Jaguar ass.
Because we're Cardinals fans.
Yeah, I'm a New York Yankee fan, born and raised.
You're a Cardinals fan?
Dude. I used to live in St. Louis when they were the St. Louis Cardinals.
Gosh.
So before you even thought about liking
listeners,
the Cardinals.
Listeners, fast forward.
Yeah.
Fast forward.
All
right, Tom, go ahead.
So you're a mash hole, is what they would say. You like all the New England teams.
Definitely not. Okay. If you're a New York Yankee fan or a New York fan, Boston is not.
I'm Cardinals everything. So
splits about halfway through Connecticut. The northern half is Boston people. The southern half is.
All right, my bad.
Yeah, so
Tom's legacy.
You'd be better off calling me an asshole than a masshole. That's more of an less of an insult.
I'm going to leave that to Chris. I'm going to let Chris do that.
Bank it. All right, legacy.
What's next?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I'm loving what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This consolidation everywhere. Who the heck knows what's going on with it?
Yeah.
I'm like on the edge of my seat, like everybody else.
Just watching. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm excited. So pedal to the metal. Keep building. Keep building. Keep building. But I believe that nothing happens to me. Everything happens for me. So I'm just waiting for the next thing to happen for me. And if it's continuing to build my businesses, awesome. If it's to start new businesses, awesome. If it's to sell my businesses and, you know, help grow something bigger, awesome. I just don't know.
Yeah.
As long as I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And I'm being good human and we're serving back our community and we're doing things. I'm a pretty happy guy.
Well, and you're enjoying the process of building. I'm enjoying the process of building. It's been a fun ride. And the last few years with all the consolidations and stuff, has been really interesting. It's been fun. And obviously, as you know, like I'm involved in so many of these different conversations, unwillingly at times. I've just happened to be involved in it. And it's fun for me to learn it and see everything that's going on as well. So I want to go ahead and leave one quick thing, too, before we get there, is I want our listeners to hear a piece of advice from you. Because I don't want you to downplay the fact that you just grew, you know, to 8.5 million in such a short time, because there's actually a lot of value into that. But what I want our listeners to hear, because there's a lot of people who never even get there or half the way there. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So you can't ever compare to like to a Ken Goodrich or it's not fair because it's still successful. It's still successful.
I'm super happy with what we've done.
So what I want to know is then for our listeners, because you clearly have skill set, you clearly have things you put in place, processes, things that you do over and over again that create these successful businesses. But what's if you can give one piece of advice to our listeners, and I want you to think about it from this perspective. We have a lot of listeners that are just kind of have just split out and starting their own thing, and maybe they're just selling their way to like a million.
Yep.
And there's not, I'm talking, you hear me, selling your way to a million.
Yep.
What is maybe one piece of advice that you could give that listener that would help them grow their business? Like think long, like that will give them some good long-term strategy. Like what is a good piece of advice you can give them?
I say that it's all about the people. And so
there's a shocker,
culture and people,
right people on the bus in the right seats. And I also think part of that is hire good people till they're standing around. Don't wait till you need them to hire them. Otherwise, you can't hire good people. You're at the risk of having to hire someone who can fog a mirror versus if a good person presents themselves, hire them. And then beyond that, the next thing that's probably you obviously got to hire them to do this, but empower them.
I like that.
If you don't give the people, and that's part of culture. You learn our culture, and I'm going to trust you to make decisions because you understand what we're about, what we're trying to do. And then if I empower you, then I have to support you, even if that's like, hey, the Tim, that decision you made over there isn't one I would have made. Why'd you make it? And then, hey, next time that comes up, what if we thought about it this way?
Yeah.
But freedom is in empowering people. And that's, at this stage of my life, if there is a legacy, I'll double back that question. I want to be able to wake up in the morning and decide what I want to do any day and do it.
I love it.
And so to do that, you need empowered people.
We've gotten a lot of Tomisms today.
I love it. Hey, you know what? I'm going to do something. One, thank you for sharing all that story. And I love that, by the way. Like, I'm okay with that, too. I think spontaneity is good for just you as a human being. I'm 42. I got a lot of runway ahead of me. And I'm anxious to see what I'm able to build over the next 8 years. Like, by the time I hit 50, I'm motivated by it. Yeah. I don't know what, like, shit. One day I thought, well, one of my big HVAC and plumbing guys bought a roofing company. Then he bought another one. I was like, well, there's a trend happening. So what's going on? So guess what? Next week I do a keynote at RoofCon in front of 3,000 roofing contractors because I see the pattern. I love that I can do that.
That's awesome.
My business is already set up for it. The process is the exact same. There's actually a lot of crossover. But I love that I was able to do that. And I have the opportunity to do that. So I want to end this a different way, okay? Usually what I do is I say, hey, thanks, Tom Casey. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story and taking the time with us away while you're here at this. And I said that. That's out of the way.
Well, done.
But seriously, appreciate you, man. You know, and I say it jokingly about you coming on, you know, of us partnering up together. If it happens, great. If not, whatever. It doesn't matter. I want you to be successful regardless. Have no doubt that you'll hit your 10 million number, like, I'm not even questioning.
North of 10 million.
North of 10 million.
North.
But what I typically will do is I will end with a review. So I'll say, hey, thanks, listeners. And by the way, thanks, listeners. And hopefully you did enjoy Tom's. But, you know, and by the way, reach out to Tom, too, if you're cool with it and sharing contact info. I love it whenever our listeners offer that up so people can reach out to him for advice. You've done some coaching anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if that's something you want to share real quick, just the best way for them to contact you?
Best way is email. I'm a terrible phone person. So tom@tomcnow.com tom@tomcnow.com
Got it. Okay, so here's how we're going to finish this thing. So listeners, don't be afraid to reach out. Here's how we're going to finish this. I don't have a review to read, okay? Because I don't even have a paper I'm reading any of my questions off of, and typically our podcast producer, who is not here, would give me a nice little sheet that has a review at the end, and I don't have it. So, Tom, have you listened to this podcast before?
I have.
Okay. Maybe you could share a review for us. That's from Tom Casey.
I like it. Knowing Tom, this was my first one with Chris.
So, to review, the Tim made all the difference here today in his contributions. but seriously, Tim, you did a great job for never having sat at the mic before.
Tom, you did a fantastic job, and so did the Jeff.
I keep calling him the Tim. Why do I keep calling him the Tim?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. But
that's a new trend. You can call him that around the
now
office.
Now we're calling him the Tim.
The Tim, office linebacker.
We're going to confuse everybody.
Chris is going to take that back to the entire office.
Absolutely,
now.
Yeah. So all I'm looking for is, hey, man, give To The Point Home Services podcast a review if you want. Any star you want. Any 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Any star you want. And it could be a short and sweet review. Just finish us off with a review at To The Point Home
bring
Services.
Bring us home.
Podcast.
I think the review is a solid 5+.
Hey!
I like it.
We'll take it. Well, listen, man, I really appreciate you again taking time. Obviously, the trade show is only 3 hours long, and you know people here, a lot of vendors to go see. So thank you for giving us 45 minutes of your time. And I'm grateful. So listeners, hopefully you soaked that up. Hopefully you liked the Jeff. If not, let me know. We'll never have it back on again. Or the Tim, whichever one you want.
If
you
liked the Tim.
If you liked the Tim better than the Jeff, whatever. Shoot us a message and let us know. But
we'll let them know.
As always, please don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. And you get it sent to you automatically and share it with your friends, other friends that are in the business that need to hear this type of stuff to move their business forward if they're in the home services space. But regardless, we're grateful for you live from the Service World Expo 2021 in Louisville, Kentucky. We'll see y'all next time.